Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue a study we've begun on the soon return of Jesus to this earth. His return is not far off. There's a lot of misinformation out there about his return, misinformation that creates fear and confusion, and I feel a sense of responsibility to the people who consider Riches in Christ a food source to address some of these issues and provide some information from the Word of God to help us all deal with what's ahead. In Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, those three chapters all record a lengthy answer Jesus gave when his disciples asked him what signs would indicate his return was near. By that point in his ministry, the crucifixion was just a few days away, and he's going back to heaven. And he is preparing his disciples for that fact, and for the fact that he was not at that time going to establish the visible kingdom of God on this earth. So they asked him, well, how will we know your return is near? And as I say, all three of those chapters record his lengthy answer to their questions about when, what would be the signs that his return was near, what signs would signal the end of this age. And he began by listing signs that his return was near. I'm going to read from Matthew 24. Let me start in verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto, well, let me preface it. We talked about this last week, but you never know who's listening. If you weren't with us last week, you possibly don't know this. Jesus and his disciples came out of the temple in Jerusalem, and the disciples were admiring the buildings, and Jesus said to them, it's all going to be destroyed. And instead of being freaked out by his answer, they asked him, well, when will this happen, and what will be the signs of your return and of the end of this age? They were not freaked out by his statement that the temple was going to be destroyed, because they had information from the Old Testament that just prior to God establishing his kingdom on this earth, there would be a time of calamity and destruction in Jerusalem. But they also had information from the Old Testament prophets that God's people will be preserved and have a part in his kingdom. So they asked him what'll be the signs. Okay, so I'm going to start reading in verse 4 here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Nation there is the word ethnos. It literally means ethnic groups. For ethnic groups shall rise against ethnic groups, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings are the beginning of sorrows. Now let me stop right there. This is a familiar passage of scripture to most of you, I presume. But notice, Jesus leads off with religious deception. There'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. There'll be ethnic fighting, national fighting, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, so on and so forth. Now, we've had all those things, really since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and the curse of sin and corruption entered the earth and the human race. All these elements are expressions of a fallen nature and a sin-cursed earth. But, because I've had people tell me that when we read this passage, they go, well, we've always had all that. So how is that going to signal his return? All of this will intensify as the end of this age approaches. We'll see increasingly challenging times on this earth, according to Jesus. See, Let me reread verse 8. After Jesus said, you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, earthquakes, pestilence. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus referred to these signs he listed as the beginning of sorrows, or literally birth pangs. The Greek word translated sorrows here means travail and pain, especially that of childbirth. The New English Bible says it this way, with all these things, the birth pangs of a new age begin. He compared these signs that his return was near to birth pains or labor pains. Now, any of you who've had a kid, any of you women who've given birth to a child, or any men who've been involved in the pregnancy process because your wife had a baby, you know how the pains of childbirth go. They start out light, they grow more intense, more frequent, and closer together as the birth approaches. However, let me say it this way. Nobody's freaked out by it. Everybody understands it, that, you know, you got to time your pains. You got to pay attention to the intensity, the frequency, to know when you need to get to the hospital. And the closer the pains get together and the harder they are, the more intense, the more painful, the nearer the birth is. Now, it is the joy of what is ahead that actually sustains the woman during the actual labor process. I mean, if you thought you were going to be in the pains of labor forever, you probably couldn't make it through. But you know at the end, you're going to have a little baby in your arms. Well, Jesus didn't pick that example because he couldn't think of anything better to say. He was trying to illustrate a point about circumstances and events on the earth prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we've always had earthquakes and wars and ethnic fighting and disease and famine, but those things will intensify and grow closer and closer together as his return nears. And for those who understand what's going on, the joy of the end result can sustain you during these difficult times. All of this stuff is going to happen, not because God wants people to suffer because he's thrown down on the earth, not because we in the body of Christ don't have enough faith to keep things calm. It's simply the nature of the times we are in. We'll talk more about that in later lessons. It's just the nature of the times in which we were born. You know, there was a generation of people that were on the earth when Jesus came to earth the first time 2,000 years ago, and they saw some things unique to their time period. Well, whoever is on the earth when Jesus returns will see some things unique to that time period as well, and I believe we are that generation based on what the Word of God says. Now, God has given us his word to help us understand what's going on, as well as how to deal with the challenges ahead. Troublesome and even fearsome things will take place. Last week we read in Luke's account of Jesus' answers here, he said, in Luke 21, he said that based on things that'll be happening on the earth, some people will be so afraid that their hearts will fail them. But Jesus told his followers to look up because their redemption draws nigh. Look up there in the Greek literally means be elated in joyous expectation. We're making the point, it's not what you see, it's how you see what you see. Everybody on earth is going to see the same thing. Everybody's going to see the same things. Some people will be so scared their hearts will fail them, but others will be elated in joyous expectation because they understand what's happening. We must never lose sight of what the second coming of Jesus is all about. It's not about the Antichrist. It's not about the mark of the beast. It's not about the rapture. It's about the return of the rightful king to this earth to establish his kingdom on earth as he comes to live with his redeemed family on earth forever. That's how the Bible ends. See, God has been talking about the end since the beginning because he's working out a plan. We emphasized that last week. His plan is to have a family of sons and daughters with whom he can dwell forever. That's why he made mankind. That's why he created us, to become his sons and daughters through faith in Christ. And that's why he made the earth, to be his family's home. That's the plan. But when Adam disobeyed God and took the entire race into sin, corruption, and death, God's plan seemed thwarted. But God immediately began to unveil his plan of redemption, or his plan to deliver men from this condition and still have his family on earth. Jesus came to earth the first time 2,000 years ago to pay for men's sins at the cross and open the way for men and women to become sons and daughters of God through being born of him when they bow their knee to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And he's going to come again in the not too distant future to deal with all who throughout human history have refused God's offer of salvation through the cross. And he will then cleanse the earth of all sin, corruption, and death and make it a fit forever home for God and his family. See, that's what the second coming is all about. People always want to talk about the book of Revelation, and they spend time arguing over, is it a pre-trib rapture, a mid-trib rapture? What will the mark of the beast be? Those are all just little pieces of a big picture. People have a tendency to get caught up in the pieces of the puzzle without looking at the picture on the front of the puzzle box. Did you ever put together a jigsaw puzzle? I did. I loved them when I was younger. I don't really have the time to do it now, but I loved them. It's much easier to put the puzzle together if you can look at a picture of the completed puzzle on the front of the box. You know, you find a red piece and you notice over in the bottom left-hand corner is a big red area. So you put the red piece in that general area. Well, we are emphasizing in this series the big picture, what it's all about, so that it's easier to understand the individual pieces. One of the reasons there's such confusion about the second coming of Jesus is people don't consider it in terms of the big picture. So it's easy to misunderstand the pieces as well as put them in the wrong place. That's why we're emphasizing the overall plan of God. I know I sound like a broken record. I don't apologize for that, though. Repetition is the seed of learning. The more I say this, the more chance there is that it's going to become part of your consciousness. We have a lot to talk about. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.